Well, good morning. God is good. Let's try that again. God is good.
All the time.
All the time? Now we're going now. If you have your Bibles this morning and you want to turn to Exodus chapter 3, I'll be reading a couple familiar verses to you. Exodus chapter 3. We find Moses out tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. And Moses sees something that's very intriguing, something that kind of gets his attention, captivates him, really. And he goes to see this amazing thing that he witnesses. And it's a bush that's on fire, but it's not being destroyed. And if you and I would see that, we'd probably go and see what in the world's going on too. But as he approached, God spoke to him. And this is what he said, beginning at verse 7. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I'll be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what's his name? What am I going to tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Ending at verse 14. Father God, we thank you so much for this privilege and opportunity to come together as the family of God to worship you, to exalt you, Jesus, to your rightful place of head of the church, the body of Christ. We are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. And Lord, our cry today is we need you. And Father, we pray today for each one that's in the sound of my voice today. God, that you would speak to their heart. Not necessarily me, but God, you speak to their heart. And Father, I pray for your anointing and blessing on this message upon me. I ask that you hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And we want to exalt him this morning and everything we say and do. And so we ask it all in his precious, most holy name, the name of Jesus. Amen. We have been looking at a song that is primarily sung at Christmas time, Mary, Did You Know? And we've been kind of unpacking the words of that song and drawing from it this child that was born and all that he would grow to become and all that he would do. And we come to today, the last one, and we come to the last line of that particular song. And the last line of that particular song says, that sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. So we've entitled this message, God Still Is. The great I am still is. He still is today. This is the one whom the Old Testament prophet spoke about hundreds of years before. The long-awaited Messiah was here. God is characterized by many different names throughout the scriptures. They express his identity, who he is, his purpose. God, what is your purpose? And his character. What is God's character? God's character is love, joy, peace, forgiveness. That's who he is. And in our text, we read Moses' response to God's assignment of going to Pharaoh and leading the people out of Egypt. And it's interesting, in verse 11, God has told Moses what his opportunity or his assignment would be, to go to Pharaoh and lead them out of Egypt, out of bondage. And then, to me, Moses begins this list of excuses. And he says, well, who am I to go to Pharaoh? Who am I to go to Pharaoh? And God simply says, I will be with you. If God has called you to something, you believe God is calling you to something, do we always willingly say, yes, God, I'll go? Or do we find excuses? Do we come up with 1 or 100 excuses? Well, God, I'm not sure I can do that. I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure. Well, what about this? What about that? What if? That question that we ask sometimes, what if? We get bogged down with the what ifs. But I love what God said to Moses. I will be with you. And when God asks you to do something, God will reassure his presence with you. I have found throughout the years of whatever God has enabled me or allowed me to do, that the will of God will never take me to where his grace can't keep me. Everything that God has called me to do has not always been easy. I wish I could say that it was, but it has not always been easy to do. But I have always known that God was with me. And God will always be with you. Whatever he calls you to do, God will confidently and definitely reassure you, I will be with you. And that is something that we have to believe today. Even as we attempt things today, Paul writes that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God does not call you, God does not call me to do anything for him or the kingdom of God without giving you the ability to do it. You have heard the saying, God does not call the equipped. God will call the faithful. He will equip you when you say yes to him. That's what we have to do. We have to say, yes, Lord, I will do this. I will go, whatever it may be. And I go with the confidence, God, that you're going to enable me. You're going to empower me. You're going to lead me. God said, I'll be with you. And then Moses said, well, suppose I go. Let's just suppose, God, that I go. And they asked me, and I tell them that the God of your father sent me, and they ask me, well, what's his name? What am I supposed to tell them? God said, tell them, I am who I am. I am the great I am. God was identifying himself to be the timeless one, the eternal one, the everlasting one, the one who knows no beginning or no end. God was emphasizing his eternal nature and that he exists in and of himself. God does not have to depend on anybody. He is sovereign. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, we find these words. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Here we see the Hebrew name El Shaddai, which literally means God Almighty. This is among the most frequently appearing names for God in the Bible. It characterizes the God who is more than enough. Think about that for a moment. Characterizes that God, this is the God that's more than enough. More than enough what? He's more than enough to meet your need. He's more than enough to meet my need. If he gives you grace, that doesn't take away from the grace he can give to me. If he shows you love, that doesn't take away from the love that he can extend to me. There is more of God to go around, and as God lavishes his blessings on us, that does not deplete the reservoir in heaven of God. There is more than enough grace, more than enough mercy, more than enough favor, more than enough power or strength or love to meet each and every need that there is. He is a God of more than enough. It characterizes the power that God is able to complete promises of his blessings. And we have to have the same, as I mentioned in one other message, we have to have the same faith and belief as Abraham did in Romans 4, that he believed that God had the power to do what he says he can do. And as we read through the scriptures, and as we hear the exceeding precious promises, as Peter referred to them, exceeding precious promises of God, do we believe that God has the ability to do each and every one? And we may have faith enough to believe that God can do something for you. I believe God can do something for you. I believe God can do something for you. But do we believe that God can do something for me? Do I believe that for my own personal self? Do I believe that? I must believe that God has the ability to meet your needs, to provide for you, and do what he can do for you. But I also need to believe that God can do the same for me. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. He doesn't love you more than he loves me. He's not a respecter of persons. God is the God of more than enough. It characterizes the God who is the all-sufficient one, the all-powerful one, the all-knowing one, the ever-present God. Isn't it amazing that no matter where you go, God is there? The psalmist says, where do I go to get away from you? And you can't go anywhere that God isn't. And we worry about tomorrow. Why we worry about tomorrow? God's already there. God is already in your tomorrow. Why do we have to worry about it? But we do. Sometimes we fall prey to that what-if thing, that what-if syndrome. But God is the everywhere present. And we look at that in two, we know God is everywhere present. But there are times where God will make his presence known, the omnipresent God. And those times are special. Those times are dear. Those times where you know that you know that you know that God is with you. Have you ever been in a service where you know the presence of God is real? You can sense the presence of God. There's something about a service where the presence of God has come and is hovering over each and every one as versus going into a service and it's cold. A service can be cold, things going on, but where the presence of God is, there is peace, there is love, there is joy, there is unity. The presence of God, not just in the church service, but in a home, in a family, in a marriage, the presence of God. Even in your time, your devotions with God, there are times where God will come and make his presence known. And you remember those times. Those times are special to you. Times where you read the Word of God and things that you may have read before, but when you read them again and it just like explodes in your eyes, it explodes in your heart. I was reading the other morning, and Martha was in another room, and I read, boom, and I told Martha later, I said, listen to this. It was something that we were talking about and sharing, and God will speak to you through his word. God will speak to you through his word. Do you believe that? I remember years and years ago, some of you know, I had a son, Greg, who passed away of cancer. And I'll never forget Greg asking me. He said, Dad, you said God speaks to you. But why doesn't he speak to me? I said, do you believe the Bible? He said, sure, I believe the Bible, Dad. I said, that's God speaking to you. And that's what we have to do. We have to believe that God will speak through his word. We just have to have ears to hear what he wants to say to us. And sometimes you may not like it. Sometimes it may cause you to be uncomfortable. I like those verses that say, bless me, Lord. Aren't they nice? We go back and read them over and over again. But those things that cause us to do something that may be inconvenient or may cause us to do something that we really don't want to do, but God's word says do it, we're going to follow the flesh or we're going to follow the word of God? God speaks us through people. God speaks through his word. God speaks through the Holy Spirit. You mean to tell me the Holy Spirit speaks? Absolutely. Did you ever not ever read through the book, the New Testament, and says, and the Spirit said to whoever he was talking to? John says in Revelations, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So the Spirit speaks. We have to have ear to hear. Hear again, we may not like what he says. It may be hard. But we have to give ear to what God wants to say to us today. The ever-present God. We find in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18, and Isaiah 46, 5, a similar question being asked. It says, to whom will you compare me? To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? There is no equal when it comes to God. There is no God like Jehovah. There is no God like our God. And I found it interesting, when you go back and look at all the plagues that God brought upon Egypt, every plague was directed against the God that Egypt had for whatever it was. Every plague was directed at a specific plague. And so we see all that God did there. The plagues came and destroyed things where Egypt had set up idols and gods. In 1 Samuel 5, to me this is kind of humorous, but in 1 Samuel chapter 5, the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, and they took it back to Ashdod, and they took it into the temple of Dagon. And they set it in the temple of Dagon, and they put an idol of Dagon beside it. And as they come in the next morning to do whatever, I guess worship or whatever they did, Dagon was on his face before the Ark of God. There's no God like Jehovah. We sang the words, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Well, they set him back up, and they left, and they came back the next morning, and he was down again. Only this time, his hands were broken off, and his head was broken off. This was to show God Almighty clearly demonstrating his complete dominance over other gods. His complete dominance over other gods. Reading through the Gospels, we find Jesus declaring seven truths about himself. He said that I am the breath of life. I am the one who sustains life. I am the one who sustains you. I support you. We cannot survive spiritually without the bread of life. You cannot survive spiritually without Jesus. We can't. I can't. You can't. The church can't. And the church must certainly exalt and keep Jesus as the head. Not man, but Jesus Christ, according to his own words, is the head of the church. And to him be glorified. But Jesus said, I am the breath of life. He said, I am the light of the world. I come to enlighten you. I come to make the kingdom of God known. And there's so much to know about the kingdom of God. And we have to allow Jesus to enlighten us about the kingdom. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. He gives access for us to come into the kingdom of God. He is the door. He is the way. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. We see such loving and tender care of the shepherd. Jesus said, I love my sheep. I care for my sheep. I know my sheep. Jesus knows you this morning. If he had a wallet, he would carry your picture in it. Jesus loves you this morning. He knows you this morning. And the unique thing about that is he says, I know my sheep. And then he says, my sheep know me. He wants that intimacy. He wants that intimate relationship with you. But he is the good shepherd. Jesus said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He told Martha that. There in John chapter 11. He told Martha that. But in Christ Jesus, we have passed from death to life. We have passed from darkness into light. We have passed from death into a new life, an abundant life, a glorious life. Is it an easy life? No. How can you say that? Because the Bible tells us that. If you intend and your purpose is to follow Jesus Christ, you're going to encounter difficulties. You're going to encounter hardships. But fear not, I'll be with you. Fear not, I'll be with you. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to salvation. There's no other way. We've talked about that. There is no other way. He is the truth. We have to believe him and trust him. Believe him and trust him. I'm reminded of the father that went to Jesus about his son. And he said, you know, all things are possible to them that believe. And he said, Lord, I believe. We can say we believe. And I believe everyone in here this morning would say, yeah, I believe. But then he said, help me with my unbelief. You know, we have to admit, I will admit, there are times where really believing and holding on sometimes can be difficult. Help me, Lord, when it's difficult. Help my unbelief. Help me, Lord. I don't want to waver. I don't want to be like a wave tossed to and fro. I want to stand firm in what I believe. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the author of life. The writer of Acts says, in him we live and move and have our very being. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. We have been divinely connected. And we draw our strength. We draw our nourishment. We draw all that we need from the vine as a branch that's been engrafted into him. And so we find this idea of Jesus being the I am. We know from Scripture that the number seven, and we listed seven items there, truths of what Jesus said, refers to completion. And I thought about this question. Is Jesus saying to us today that he is completely what we need today? Is that what Jesus is saying? He is completely what we need today. David said it very plainly. David said it very plainly and clearly in Psalm 23:1, and you can quote it probably as well as I can. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Can you say that today? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. It's a statement of truth. It's a statement of trust. It's a statement of confidence. It is a statement of assurance. David was able to look back on his life and see God's goodness and mercy. Follow him everywhere he went. And I was reminded of the poem Footprints, and you're probably familiar with it. You know, two sets of footprints walking through the sand, walking to fellowshipping. And then they asked Jesus the question, why was it through the difficult times that there's only one set there? And you know Jesus' response. It was during those times. I love you. And I want you to know that this morning. God loves you. No matter what has ever happened to you, what is happening to you now, does not mean that God has withdrawn his love. God loves you. And he can't love you any more than he's already displayed or demonstrated. But Jesus said, I love you. That's how much I love you. It's during those difficult times that what? I carried you. And I would say over half of us have had times in our lives where God has carried us. Maybe more, I don't know. But God has carried you. In his arms, he's carried you. Psalm 23:6 says, surely or certainly, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the presence of God forever. David said in Psalm 27, the one thing I desire above all things, the one thing I truly desire in my life is to dwell in the presence of God. And I pray that that's your heart's desire today, to dwell in the presence of God today. Jesus is the great I am. He always was, he always will be. And he wants to be your great I am today. He wants to be your I am of whatever need you have today. And I would just encourage you today, if you feel rejected, if you feel discouraged, if you feel down, if you feel whatever you're feeling today, if you feel lost, God knows where you are. God knows exactly where you are. If you come in today with a burden that you just can't, you're tired of carrying, you're facing a mountain that you feel you can't climb, Jesus is the great I am. He will help you climb. He'll help you get around or over the mountain. Jesus will lift that burden today if you just give it to him today. And if you want to pray today after the service, I'm willing to pray for you with you up here. I just don't want you to take the burden with you that you came in with. Jesus said, God said, I am that I am, and he's here today. I want to reassure you that today. And if you bring your need to him, he will take care of it. Father, we just thank you today. We thank you today, God, for your presence. And Father, I'm just looking out over these precious people. These are your sheep. And you know, Lord, what each one is wrestling with today. But you are the great I am. And God, I just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to their heart today. That we don't have to leave discouraged. We don't have to leave defeated. We don't have to leave the way we came. We just have to come to you. And so, Father, we thank you today for what you're doing, what you're going to do. Speak to us by your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
That victory, that sweet victory from that one who has paid it all for us. It's available, and we praise him for that. Now today, when you go from this place, there's no guarantee that we'll ever be back here again. So I encourage you to go from this place, bearing witness of that one who paid it all for you, and confront evil.